Hello, Madison, North Florida, all of you listening by computer anywhere in the world and anywhere in the United States of America. We're so glad to be coming to you today with this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I'm your pastor evangelist, Robert Venable. I know I'm not your pastor in your local area, but I am a pastor at heart. I have pastored here in Tampa, Florida for, 37 years in January of the Holy Church of God. This broadcast originates right here in Tampa, Florida, Central Florida, particularly through WMAF to North Florida and the Madison area, and from the Madison area because of the internet to anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. We've been getting people come to our website from Oslo, Norway, other places in Norway, from Argentina, from Australia, the United Kingdom, from China, from North Korea, and South Korea, rather. And so we've just had a wonderful response as far as people visiting us at our website. And we're grateful. We're glad you came. We hope you come again. Type in THCOG and Google it, or any good search engine on your computer. It'll take you to our website. Type in WMAF. The call letters of this station, home, and it'll take you to their homepage. You can listen. Anyone, anywhere in the world connected to the World Wide Web can listen to the good programming right here on WMAF and to this broadcast and other fine ministries that broadcast over WMAF. We're getting the Word of God to the nations of the world because of the technology that is available to us today, but even more importantly, because of the mighty Holy Spirit that is with us and is placed His anointing and told us to go, praise God, into all the world. And we pray that we're coming to your world today. Praise the Lord. You're part of the world today. We have a great subject. We're going to be talking about a subject that helps us reassume the posture of victory and sustain it. We're going to be talking about the Lord's Sabbath, the lifter of our head, literally defeating the enemy both without and within. In fact, the enemy without is more easily defeated than the enemy within. And I hope you're intrigued by this sermon topic. It's vital to victory. It's another one of those you just can't do without essentials to walking in victory in Jesus Christ. And friend of mine, every Christian has the privilege and opportunity to walk in victory in spite of the weakness of our flesh, the working of the enemy against us. We have a great enemy in Satan. We have a great ally in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, we want you to know that victory today. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with us to Psalm 3. I'm going to read the first 8 verses, or the 8 verses out of Psalm 3, rather. Listen very carefully. See if you identify with David. Times haven't changed all that much. We still have an enemy against us. And if you're a Christian, we have a God for us. And let me go on a little bit further and say this. Even if you're not a Christian today, God is for you in this sense. He wants and desires to save you, to forgive your sin, to seal you with the Holy Spirit, to mark you as His own, to make sure that heaven is your home instead of being lost without Him. God loves you. You say, Pastor, how do you know how God feels about me? You don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. And how do you know so much about the heart of God? Well, it's all in the book, my brother and my sister. It's all in the book. And the book declares, God's holy word declares, that God commendeth His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that God didn't start loving any of us down here after we came to Him, received salvation. He loved us while we were yet in our sins, enough to send His Son to go to the cross and take our place. Now, that is the declaration of the Word of God. The man hanging on that cross, that without saying a word, is communicating a message that God loves you enough to give his son for you. And Christ loves you enough to give his life for you. So there's victory over that is holding you back from coming to Jesus today. So you hang on with us. Amen. This is going to be a good ride and you don't want to fall off. Praise God. Amen. Listen to this carefully. Psalm 3. See if you relate to this. I certainly do. David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Then there's that word that you find occasionally in Psalms, in fact, quite often at the end of a sentence, Selah, Selah. And it simply means to sit down and quietly contemplate. If it was in music this word was used, it would be a pause before beginning the next set of notes. It's something to kind of let that sink in. God wants it to sink in certain things. And David said, I don't want you to miss this. There's a whole lot of people that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He said, let that sink in too, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, but thy blessing is upon thy people. He's got to put another Selah in here. He said, I want you to think about this. Deliverance belongs to God. Salvation belongs to the Lord, but thy blessing is upon thy people. One translation of verse 3 reads, Lord, you're the one who lifts my head high. I like this commentary out of this ancient commentary, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. Says, David, in the midst of great distress, with filial confidence, implores God's aid and anticipating relief. He offers praise. Hallelujah. You know, most of us wait. Let's be honest today. Most of us wait till there's a breakthrough. God comes through. The circumstance changes. The devil backs off, which he really doesn't. We have to make him back up. But you know what I'm talking about. We wait for things to change from the negative to the positive before giving God praise. And David said, I'm going to praise God before the fact. And I believe that's the way faith is supposed to operate. I think once we state our case before the Lord and present our petition before him and put our trust in him, we need to start talking, acting, and walking differently, because God listens to the prayers of his people and God is faithful to his promises. You know what God said about trials? He said, think it not strange. In other words, you're not unique if you're going through a trial. You're just part of the rest of us. Join the crowd. Welcome to my world. Praise God. Amen. But I'm telling you something. Every test, God takes and turns it into a testimony if we keep our trust in him. There's no doubt about it. Think it not strange, the scripture declares in the New Testament, the fiery trial that comes to try you as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. David had an enemy without friend. But David was no stranger to facing overwhelming giants and armies. This was no Philistine giant nor mighty army. This was his own son, Absalom. And the army that followed him was David's own countrymen. David now had a greater threat, heartache and heartbreak, discouragement and despondency. Listen carefully, because this is crucial to victory for the Christian. In order to defeat the enemy without, we must first defeat the enemy within. David looks to God. Oh, no, wait. Let me say that again. In order to defeat the enemy without, we must first defeat the enemy within. Oh, friend of mine, I know this battle with discouragement. I'm not going to dare tell anyone after all of these years of walking in victory that I have never been in that horrible pit that David spoke of. You know, he said he delivered me from the horrible pit, and people say, I wonder what he's talking about. Well, I never wonder what he's talking about. And it wasn't the circumstances around him. It was what those circumstances did to him, how they affected him within. David had no problem at all defeating the giant without, the giant Philistine, in hand-to-hand combat, in physical battle, because he said, you come to me as with a sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Bible said he ran toward him, and you know the rest of the story. David defeated him easily because he went out in God's strength and God's power. But I'm going to tell you, there's another giant that can rise up that is not one that you do hand-to-hand physical combat with under the anointing. This is one that rises up within you, and his name is discouragement. And when discouragement rises up, it's a greater giant within than any giant of circumstance without. But David looks to God as the lifter of his head, or as one commentary reads, he lifts me from despondency, praise the Lord, and dejection and hopelessness. Matthew Henry writes, Absalom formed a conspiracy against David to take away not only his crown, but his very life. David was now in great grief. When in his flight, while he was running from Absalom, he went up to the Mount of Olives. He wept greatly, and with his head covered, marching barefoot, he wept and prayed and wept and sung and wept and believed. I like that. I'm going to read that again. He wept and prayed, wept and sung, wept and believed. You know, it's amazing that you can pray with tears in your eyes. You can sing with tears in your eyes. You know, the Bible said that weeping lasts for a night. It's temporary. The circumstance and the storm is bound to pass. Ah, but joy comes in the morning. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how strong the winds of the hurricane here in Florida, or the tornado out there in the Midwest, or the nor'easter up in New England, amen, or wherever you are in the world, the dust storm down in Africa. I'm going to tell you, praise God, that storm always has to pass. Those winds have to blow out, but God's mercies are new every morning. That sun is shining brightly behind those clouds. It may seem the sun is gone, but it isn't. Those clouds didn't obliterate the sun in the sense of destroying it. It's only hiding it. I'm telling you, the sun's shining. And someone said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Well, I'm not such a tough guy, but I am a Christian. And because of Christ's promise that I can do all things through Him that strengthens me, I'm going to outlast the storm with His help. Is it all right to say that today without being proud? And the only boasting is boasting in the Lord. We're going to outlast our storms because God has promised to help us. Praise the Lord. He wept and prayed. He wept and sung, wept and believed. Is it possible? Is it possible to be emotionally rocked by the circumstances, heartbroken, and yet trust God at the same time? Emotions portraying our heartache and heartbreak, but our faith reaching out through all of that to God's faithfulness. Praise the Lord. There's a great truth unfolding here. Don't miss it. While being shattered emotionally by a circumstance, one can still exercise faith in our heart. Oh, friend, make no mistake about it. The enemy, when you are shattered like that, is going to taunt you. David's enemies taunted him. Look at verse 2. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. One translation reads, God will not rescue you. Have you ever heard that in the midst of a circumstance you pray and it seems to get worse before it gets better? And you hear this voice saying, God isn't going to do it for you. God isn't going to honor His word in your behalf. God will not come through. Oh, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sound familiar? When we feel dejected and overwhelmed, Satan shouts, God will not come to your aid. You're too weak. Your faith is too small. You are not worthy. It's hopeless. But listen how David responds, proclaiming the Lord in power. Listen, verse 3, he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. David is not exercising the power of positive thinking, even though he's certainly thinking positive. David is not into self-help or pop psychology. David is looking to his God for deliverance. Are you weak enough today to look to God exclusively for your deliverance? If you are, the Bible says you were postured for victory. You are in the correct attitude where God's grace and strength can be granted to you. The Old Testament puts it this way, to them that hath no might, he increases strength. The New Testament puts it in the same terms in the New Covenant. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I made strong. In other words, are you weak enough and honest enough about your own weakness and inabilities to qualify for God to strengthen you when you look to Him? You know, the Bible said one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament is, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Praise God. We're not running from the devil. We're not running from our circumstances. We're running to God in the face of our enemy. Praise God. There's a vast difference in cowardice and the wisdom to know that in ourself we are not equipped to defeat the enemy without or the enemy within. But in God there is great victory, great help, great hope. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, protecting me from the enemy without, the lifter of my head, delivering me from the enemy within. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 11 in verse 1 says it well. It says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye unto my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I'm going to read it from another translation. It says, it's actually a modern paraphrase, but I like it. It says, I've already run for dear life straight into the arms of God. So why should I run away now when you say run to the mountains? The devil wants you to shift your faith from God to some other source, because he knows you can be easily defeated then. If you get discouraged in the Lord, you're going to look for some other means of victory. Try to pull yourself out of that horrible pit or that circumstance. Or dig yourself out of the hole. God wants to lift you out. Praise God. Amen. Keep your faith in the Lord today. It may look like he's not listening. It may seem like heaven is brass. It may feel like God is not coming through quickly enough. If he loved you, it looked like he'd jump down here and do something. He does love you, but he don't always just jump down and pull us out of our problems. But he does promise this, when you go through the fire, look around. Amen. Look around. Look to the right and to the left. You're going to find out you're not alone. Don't just look at yourself. Don't just look at the circumstance. But look around you and sense that God is with you. When you go through the fire, it will not kindle on you, for I am with you. He said, when you go through the waters, they shall not overflow you, for I am with you. Praise God. We don't run to the mountains. We run to God. Running to God when threatened is not running from the devil. Amen. God is our shield, His power, and faithfulness. Even when we are weak and helpless, He loves us, and He will not abandon us. We can't read this psalm without being reminded of the great hymn of Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. I just want to read some verses from that great hymn because it's so theologically correct today. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. And verse 2, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Somebody out there, shout Jesus. We know who the man of God's choosing is. It's Jesus today. Praise God. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And now, friend, He has won the battle in our behalf. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Praise God. That one little word is a name, and that name is above every name, and that name is Jesus. Praise God. Yeshua, that means Joshua, that means Savior. Praise God. Amen. We're getting close to Christmas season, but I shout this all year. I don't wait till the Christmas lights and trees are in the stores to start thinking about the Christmas message, because the Christmas message is a Christmas message 365 days a year. Praise God. Amen. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you in the city of David is born a Yeshua, a Savior. That's what Jesus means. It's the New Testament derivative of the Old Testament Joshua, which means Savior, Deliverer. Praise God. You can't deliver yourself, friend. That's why God sent a Deliverer to us. You can't save yourself. So God sent a Savior to us. Praise God. In His name represents that deliverance and salvation, Yeshua. Praise God, Yeshua, Jesus, Savior. Praise the Lord. That one little word will fail Him. Glory to God. We're not through with this message, but I just want to stop right here in the midst of this great psalm of defeating the enemy without and the enemy within. And today, I want you to know, if you're a discouraged Christian, I want you to take courage in your heart, because God loves you today. And He has set Himself for your defense. To them that hath no might, He increases strength. There's grace and mercy waiting for you. Praise the Lord at His throne, at His feet. Come to Him today for the strength you do not possess. Look to Him. The Scripture says looking unto Jesus doesn't mean glancing at Him when some problems come and taking our eyes off of Him and becoming self-sufficient when we're not in that deep place of need. It means setting your gaze upon Him. It means letting nothing distract you from trusting God for everything in your life, for each day of your life. If you're not a Christian, you're still listening. I don't believe it's an accident. I believe God has touched you somehow, some way. He wanted you to hear about His love and the victory that He offers, because most people that are considering becoming a Christian, the devil lies to them and tells them, you can't live the life. And he's got a partial truth there. You can't in yourself. But the great apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when you invite Jesus into your heart, repent of your sins, make a quality decision, literally a change of heart and a change of mind, he comes in. He said, I'll come in. And when he comes in, he works from the inside out, not from the outside in. Praise the Lord. And I love John's Gospel, the first chapter. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He authorizes you to be so forgiven and so accepted into the family of God that you can now call God your heavenly Father, Jesus your elder brother and Savior, and the body of Christ your family. Praise the Lord. You become one of God's chosen people. And God does that through the blood sacrifice of His Son at Calvary. And He's asking you to receive a gift today. Make no mistake about it. Salvation is a gift from God. And what a gift it is. It's talk about a gift that keeps on giving. This gift is going to keep on giving age without end. It conquers death. It conquers hell. It conquers the grave. It conquers our great foe, the devil. Praise God. It cancels our sins. Hallelujah. And assures us that we will live forever in the holy city with the holiest persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and with our loved ones that have preceded us. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful salvation we have today. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to invite you right now in this holy moment to bow your head and to open your heart to Him. Tell Him you're sorry for your sins. He knows you're a sinner. You don't have to explain that to Him. But God commended His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Be honest with Him. Be open with Him. Amen. He can handle it today. Tell Him you want your life to change, your destiny to change. You're going to receive Him today and receive the strength you need to follow Him in this life and to live with Him forever in the world to come. Ah, friend, don't miss this gift that keeps on giving. And if you're a Christian today and that enemy without is seemingly defeating you, let God heal you and defeat that enemy within. Inner healing today. Rise up from the dust and ashes of defeat and declare victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. God will bring you through. Run to Him. Hallelujah. Don't run from the devil. We love you today. Come back next week. Right here on WMAF. Same time. Let's talk about Jesus.
That became our mistake.